Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Na Veda Kripana Shreya Atmano Guna Vastudrik Tasya Tan Ichato Yachched Yadi sopi tata vida naveda kripa kripanashaya atmano gunavastu drik tasyatan ichato yachchen yadi sopi tata vida. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 9, text number 49. Those who think material assets to be everything or to be the ultimate goal of life are called misers, kripana. They do not know the ultimate necessity of the soul. Moreover, if one awards that which is desired by such fools, he must also be considered foolish. Repeat, those who think material assets to be everything and the ultimate goal of life are called misers, kripanas. They do not know the ultimate necessity of the soul. Moreover, if one awards that which is desired by such fools, he must also be considered foolish. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are two classes of men, namely the kripana and the brahmana. A brahmana is one who knows Brahman, the absolute truth, and who thus knows his real interest. A kripana, however, is one who has a material bodily concept of life. Not knowing how to utilize his human or demigod life, a kripana is attracted by things created by the material modes of nature. The kripana who always desire material benefits are foolish, whereas brahmanas who always desire spiritual benefits are intelligent. If a kripana, not knowing his self-interest, foolishly asks for something material, one who awards it to him is also foolish. Krishna, however, is not a foolish person. He is supremely intelligent. If someone comes to Krishna asking for material benefits, Krishna does not award him the material things he desires. Instead, the Lord gives him the intelligence so that he will forget his material desire and become attached to the Lord's lotus feet. In such cases, although the kripana offers prayers to Lord Krishna for material things, the Lord takes away whatever material possessions the kripana has and gives him the sense to become a devotee. As stated by the Lord in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22:39, Ami vigya e murke vishaya kena diba swacharan namrita diya vishaya bulaiba. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. If one sincerely prays to God for material possessions in exchange for devotional service of the Lord, who is not foolish like such an unintelligent devotee, shows him special favor by taking away whatever material possessions he has and gradually giving him the intelligence to be satisfied only by rendering service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments in this regard that if a foolish child request his mother to give him poison. The mother, being very intelligent, will certainly not give him poison, even though he requests it. A materialist does not know that to accept material possessions means to accept poison or the repetition of birth and death. An intelligent person, a brahmana, aspires for liberation from material bondage. That is the real self-interest of a human being. Om Agana. So some people are afraid to worship Krishna because they hear things like this, that he'll take away everything, right? He does that, like with Yudhisthira, after they lost everything and were exiled in the second gambling match. Yudhisthira asked Krishna, and Krishna said, well, when I especially bless someone, then I take away everything. But then he gave it all back, much more. That's what some people don't realize. If someone is ready to utilize everything in the service of Krishna, Krishna may give him a lot. But if he wants to advance, but we have attachments to think that we can enjoy the material energy and enjoy these things, and that they're the most important things, then Krishna won't give them. Shiva will give whatever someone asks for. So materialists like to worship him. I was just reading this, I was wondering, there's so many people that just pray to God, you know, for material things, and they get it. Of course, not everybody gets it, because it's also karma. In Africa, especially in Nigeria, the churches, almost all, at least the ones that advertise prosperity, that's a big word, you know, come to Apostle so-and-so and you will prosper, you will get rich. They used to have people coming and saying, I was crippled and now I can walk, and I was deaf and dumb and now I can sing opera. And now they come and say, I was poor, I was a beggar, but I went to this church and now I'm rich. And I have so many houses and I have so many cars. And they testify like that, and then people go and in countries where it seems like there's no other way to get rich. In some countries, they just think you don't need God to get rich, you just work hard. Some people think you just cheat and rob and do whatever you can to get rich. It's definitely a problem in the material world, especially in Kali Yuga, but it's always been there, that people are thinking that just material possessions is all you need. And Prabhupada said so many times, a good bank account and, you know, this. But we have nothing against people having good bank accounts. It's not like you can't have that and be a devotee. But to think that that's all in all and that you're guaranteed, if you have a big bank account, you go to heaven, you can pay your way into heaven. Right? You can bribe the Yamadutas when they come. Or you can hire enough security guards to keep the Yamadutas away. Right? Prabhupada, I don't know if it's a joke or not, he said one man, he thought, he rubbed stool all over his body, then he thought the Yamadutas won't, they won't want to come. See, it'd be abominable. But people are thinking like that, I'm protected, you know. We have a big hospital and I've got the doctors on call and, you know, I have my family and my relatives. And the Bhagavatam shows how the man is lying there dying and the relatives are trying to figure out how to speed it up. And they're all fighting, you know, they're already fighting over all the wealth, right? That goes on here, right? And in many countries, you'll see some kind of property and it's just abandoned because the two brothers are fighting over it, you know, the inheritance. Sometimes they kill the father, they kill the husband. the yuppies, they called them in America, in the 80s, was called a yuppie, really, and everybody knows they were very materialistic. And the whole thing was just to have certain possessions, get a certain status job and have a certain type of car, it had to be, and certain designer clothes and certain wristwatch, and then you made it. Even though you had no time to even, you know, go to your big house, because they're working so hard. They called them dinks. D-I-N-K-S. Dual income, no kids. In order to keep the status, they had the husband and wife both working. And they didn't have time to meet each other even. And they had a very nice apartment, but they never had time to go there. And no time for kids. And if they do have kids, the kids are just home alone. They call them latch key. The kid has a key to the house. He just comes home from school and he's all by himself. And maybe late at night, the parents come home. But they're thinking, if we just get one more possession. They had a sign on some people had on their license plate of their Mercedes. First it was Mercedes car. And then there were so many secondhand Mercedes after a while that poor people had them. So they switched over to Jaguars because there wasn't any secondhand ones around. I don't know what happened next. But it said, he who dies with the most toys wins. And then someone else put, he who dies with the most toys still dies. And they had no idea of anything beyond this life. They don't even believe in heavenly planets or anything. So they're just convinced. And going to heaven is the same kind of thing, that, you know, you can enjoy the more material opulences. So people do jagyas and they work hard to go to the heavenly planets and enjoy. So this kind of philosophy is everywhere. When Vamandev only asked for 3 steps of land from Bali Maharaj, who possessed the entire universe and was ready to give him anything. Genuinely ready, right? He said, you're stupid, you know. You should ask for much more. I'll give you planets, you know, I'll give you a whole village, I'll give you, you know, so much. He said, no, a Brahmin, you know, if he's not satisfied with a little, he'll never be satisfied no matter how much you get. You just get more and more greedy the more you get. And we all experience, even when we're a little bit renounced, that, you know, there's always a new model coming out. No matter what you get, you know, someone else got something that might be a little better, right? Even if you're doing it for the temple, you know, there's always something. So one has to learn to be satisfied. Krishna says one should be satisfied with whatever comes automatically. But then sometimes devotees think, well, I've done enough service now. I'm satisfied. Yeah. I've made enough advancement, you know. I'm not in anxiety anymore. I don't need any more advancement, you know. That's a misinterpretation. For material comforts, we should be satisfied with whatever Krishna provides. He may provide sometimes very nice things, but then we have to be careful not to take too much. When you take sannyas, then you'll see that, or if you're married, you know, or if you have a mother, they're always trying to make you eat, but how much can you eat, right? You have to be able to turn it away. You can only use so much. So the brahmana, the devotee, wants to minimize, but not take too little and not be able to do any service for Krishna. But not working hard to get more material advancement. Of course, if we have a business, we have to work and try to make the business get better. But for Krishna, the purpose, the goal is different. There's so many people that give these seminars, and, you know, how to motivate yourself and how to really concentrate on what you're doing. And they have very good techniques. If we apply those techniques to our spiritual life, it's quite all right. You know, to studying and organizing and concentrating and, you know, getting association of other people who have the same goals in life and everything. But if we take their goals, that you'll just get richer and richer and richer and, you know, have more and more prestige in the material world, and they're dangling that, you know. They even use the word guru, finance gurus, and this guru and that guru. And people pay $10,000 for a seminar. How I got rich, I'll teach you the secrets. Those churches in Nigeria, everyone goes. So I was thinking, if it worked, I thought, you know, it wouldn't. Everybody's poor, but everybody should be rich. Because they're all praying to get rich. The church is guiding them in that way. And most religions. So the Bhagavatam, this is not a new thing, because Dharma Projita Kaita Votra Nirmat Saranam Satam. It kicks out any religious motivation which is materially motivated. You know, practicing Dharma Artha just for economic development. Bhagavatam kicks it out right from the beginning. There's no Pushpa Vachana, you know, no flowery words in the Bhagavatam. How you can go to heaven and you can have a beautiful body that lives for 100 million years, and you'll have the best fashion designers dressing you all the time, and there'll be a huge entourage of apsaras singing your glories while you travel in your airplane that, you know, it's not a Rolls Royce or something, but much better, you know, just a marble or a golden airplane that goes wherever you want without a pilot or anything. And they're promising things like that. And then the beauty of these heavenly gardens, and, you know, everybody will just sing, wherever you go, everybody will love you. And so people are attracted to that. Now they don't believe that there's any next life. They're just trying to get that in this life. If you get these clothes, if you get this car, if you have this television, you know, people will really respect you, right? They'll be envious. So these people are considered very foolish. And sometimes a devotee, you know, he bewildered. We want to be a devotee, but we also have so many material desires. So we get instructions all the time, you know, nadanam nijanam sundarim. We don't want these things. But the conditioning is you must have these things. Now the children, I guess even in Bombay, they have to take, you know, entrance examinations for nursery school in Japan. Three-year-old kids, you know, they have to be going to the juku, they call it, the special school, you know, to get cramming school so they can pass the entrance exam for nursery school, three-year-old kids. Because that will lead you to this school, that school, this school, and finally you'll get the big job. If you don't kill yourself along the way, that's, which is quite common. I was in the car yesterday, there was a newspaper, so the front page said that they just arrested 300 young people in Pune with having some wild party. They're all very rich families, all in IT and things like that. And they had 2.5 kilograms of hashish. That's a lot, you know. It's a lot. Because I don't know if you ever smoked hashish. You don't need very much in that. And they had so much beer and whiskey and some kind of other drug I've never heard of from California that's super powerful, you know, a new version of LSD or something. So they said everybody's really worried, you know, why is this happening? But it's just following the book. What do you expect when you're training everybody that the goal of life is just to have material things. And then when you get money, then you what do? You have to party, right? And when you party, what do? Unless someone learns that, you know, you use everything for Krishna. We have so many devotees that are, you know, very opulent in their life. Prabhupada never told Ambarish, you know, you should go live in a hut somewhere and give away all your money. Leave everything. Use it for Krishna. So we are, it's revolutionary, the Bhagavatam says it. We're giving a revolution for the dull heads of the people. It's a revolutionary, you know. Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim. There's millions of songs, there have been forever. Danam, Janam, Sundarim. The Beatles had one. I want some money. Give me money. That was someone else before. Everything is like that. I want this sense gratification. I want beautiful women. I want beautiful men. I want to be famous. And they're promoting that competition to achieve these goals, which just make people more and more frustrated. So we're trying to turn people to, you know, the truth. They need to hear kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. That changes, purifies the heart, changes the mind so that people can understand. Where they want, only the only purpose of all this endeavor that everyone's making is because they think this will make you happy. Even I saw a bed shop in Delhi. We were on Rath Yatra, and it was called the Ananda Mattress Shop. And it said 8 hours of bliss. Sleep. Because the Bhagavatam says they can't sleep. Their minds are so disturbed about all their money and their possessions and, you know, who's a thief is coming and maybe my wife is a thief and my kids are thieves and, you know, my partner's suing me and the, I see these guys and, you know, they have 3 or 4 cell phones, right? And they're constantly, you know, they can't turn them off. One devotee in Bangkok, I said, you don't have a cell phone. And he had a big job in IT. And he said, if I have a cell phone, and I can never turn it off because if anyone from the company calls and his phone is turned off, they're going to think, you know, you don't care about your job. But finally, the next time he had one, he said, you know, they forced him, you have to have one. And has to be ready to answer it in 1 minute, no matter what. So they have to take sleeping pills. I forget the exact number, but if you heard the number of sleeping pills that are taken in America every day, you would faint. It's unbelievable numbers. The number of aspirin, you know. And that's just aspirin, that's for the headache. That doesn't include Tylenol and all the other things that they have for painkillers, right? The biggest selling off-the-shelf medicine is painkillers. The main pain is a headache because they're so stressed. Because they want so many things and you can never get enough. And when you get them, they're never satisfied. Even when I was a teenager, my boss, he was a rich, not rich, but he was a hardworking businessman. So he bought a new car. He bought a Thunderbird. And I asked him, you know, does this car make you happy? He said it did for a few minutes. But I should have got a Cadillac, he said. But it's too late, you know. If you sell the new car the next day, you get about, you know, half what you paid for. So they know, but they just keep trying. So then they need to be intoxicated so they can think everything's all right. Yeah, it's fine. Everything looks good, right? Even if you live in a dump, you know, if you're intoxicated enough, it looks very nice. Looks like the heavenly planets. And your ugly partner will look very beautiful. And whatever you're doing, the food you're eating will taste good. But we don't want that. We want to help people. We want to give people real knowledge. And it does work, you know, that we all experience when, you know, by contacting devotees, you know, by seeing how happy devotees are, that's the most powerful preaching, is seeing happy devotees, right? That's what people will be attracted when that's why all the advertisements show happy, beautiful young people, right? They're advertising, you know, all these wonderful things that you can enjoy. All you need is this one more thing. And we're saying, you know, you can be happy only from Krishna, only real happiness and its effect. They just want happiness. So whatever happiness we get from the material world is actually, you know, just some of Krishna's energy, just a small part. Even the pleasure of sex, the Bhagavatam says that Krishna, there's a coating on the genital and makes it pleasurable. It depends on Krishna. Whatever pleasure anyone gets, he's the taste of the water. He becomes the moon and gives the vegetables taste. So why not go directly to Krishna? Why not go to the reservoir, you know? Right? Why keep taking the little drops, you know, from far away when you can connect directly with Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then we can become really happy in whatever condition. We don't say that you'll lose everything and to be happy. Some people think that. Even when Prabhupada, they'd say, oh, and to be a Hare Krishna, you have to give up your family, right? Prabhupada would say, no, look at all these boys, they're all family men. But everybody would still say that, oh, you have to give up your family. You can't be married. You can't have a job, you can't have any money. No, but you have to realize everything belongs to Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had family. He had very prestigious job. He wasn't poor. But he knew everything belonged to Krishna. So he had that, what's that song? You know, my house turns into Goloka. And there's several songs like that. Krishna, you know, I give you everything, my family, my children, my wealth, my house, everything belonged. But he didn't move out. You know, he used everything in Krishna's service. He engaged all his children in service. He utilized his house to write all these wonderful things. So the examples are there. But we have to renounce this idea that this is mine, and we have to know that, you know, ultimate pleasure will not come from a good mattress. It does help to be able to sleep nicely. And if one's mind is peaceful and he works hard, Prabhupada said, like a brahmachari, they should immediately fall asleep. But we can't always do that, you know. We're worried about this and that. So we see some of these very poor people, they're sleeping on the footpath and big smile. Right? They don't have anything to worry about. Nobody's going to steal anything, like we heard about Kolavecha Sridhar. No thief comes to really poor people. But that doesn't mean we don't have anything. The temple has many nice things, so then we need security guards, and, you know, because Prabhupada told us don't use real gold on the altar and jewels, cause, you know, just to attract thieves. Krishna, you know, would rather have imitation stuff and not have the temple being attacked by thieves all the time. So Lord Chaitanya gave us these prayers, and Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim. kavitam ba jagadish kamai mama janmani ishvare. I don't want anything. I'm not hankering after wealth or followers or beautiful women or beautiful words of praise for myself. All I want is service, life after life. But if you serve Krishna, you might get wealth, because Krishna is the richest person. So someone who gets close to Krishna, they may have a lot of wealth to deal with. Just like a secretary for a rich man, he may handle all the money, right? He may have access to everything the man owns, but it's not his. If he walks away with it, then he's a criminal. As long as he's serving the master, he can handle all the money. He can ride in a big car. He can live in the house. He can fly in the private airplane. He can do whatever the master wants. But if he thinks, well, it's actually mine, and runs away, then he's a criminal, and the whole police everywhere in the world will be looking for him. Right? So this material world is dangerous. And when we try to make advancement, I heard Radhana Swami gave a very good example once. He said, if you're in the prison and you behave yourself, you know, nobody bothers you. You know, you have a schedule, you just follow along. Sometimes prisoners get to like it. You know, no hassles. So if we're in Maya and we're really into it, you know, it seems all right. But when you try to escape from the prison, then and all the lights come on and your picture is all over the world on television, and you know they're looking for you everywhere, and you know they'll probably kill you on the way. If they, you know, it's very hard. Sometimes people escape, and then it's very difficult to live. So when you try to get out of Maya, then all of a sudden, you know, your family comes, and your mother gets sick, you know, you lose your job, right? All at once, or you get offered a big promotion, but you have to be sent like someplace far away, right? Isn't it? All something will happen when you try to get out of Maya. So you have to really, you know, take shelter of Krishna. Have to know the philosophy so that we can chant, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Knowing what we're doing, knowing, you know, what Krishna is. We can do devotional service knowing, you know, who is Krishna? Why are we doing this? We're not just foolish, you know. Like sometimes in America, they've had like an Indian friends and congregation, they get involved with the management. And then the first thing they do, why do you need so many flowers? Why do you have to cook such nice things for the deity? This is very expensive. When they see the expenses for the deity, that's the first thing they want to cut, you know, because they don't know. Then when you explain, they can understand. Because it looks like, wow, what are these people doing? Some places flowers are cheap, but you know, in some countries flowers are hard to come by. You know, the Prabhupada liked a lot of flowers, and Krishna liked. So when we give more and more to Krishna, you know, everything comes. Not fools. I mean, so many people have been worshiping the deity for millions of years and giving so much, but Krishna, he doesn't. He reciprocates. But mainly he'll give himself as the most valuable thing. At the time of death, it doesn't matter how much we have. This is taught, Prabhupada said, you can look Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha. Nobody said, stay in the material world, you know, make it nice. I just heard yesterday, I was from Jiva Dharma. They said, just say you stop in a hotel, you're on the way somewhere. And then you get really busy fixing up the hotel room. And you forget that you're going somewhere. You know, you just go out shopping and you decorate your hotel room and, you know, you get more clothes and you hang them all up and then you forget that you're actually supposed to be going somewhere. But that's what happens. The material world is a dangerous place. And we get caught up, you know. We forget that we're trying to go to Krishna. Some people completely forgot. They don't even know there's Krishna. Even if you tell them, they don't believe it. And even as devotees, you know, it's easy to get sidetracked. So we need association. We need to stay with the goal. We have to eat and sleep and take care and, you know, find some sort of facility to sleep comfortably. But we can't say that sleep is bliss. Right? Ignorance is bliss, they say. Right? My mother, that was one of her favorite. Because she was quite intelligent, and she could perceive all the crazy things going on. And then you think, well, if I didn't know anything, I'd be happy. There's two kinds of happy people in the material world, right? What kind? Huh? Yeah, the Paramahansa, who sees Krishna everywhere, even in all the miserable things. And then the complete fool, the ignorant person, intoxicated. I saw one guy in Tokyo one time. He was drunk, which is quite common there. And every time he took a step, he was right in the Shinjuku train station. 2 million people a day go through this. And he just fell on his face. You know, Dandava. And people were looking, and the police would come out, and the police there, they're very nice, you know. Japanese police, they're always polite to everybody, and at least in public. I don't know when they arrest you, what it is. But, so they would, you know, and he'd say, no problem, no problem, everything's all right, and he'd stand up again. And he'd, you know, and bam, you know. So that 2 or 3 times. Finally, he smashed his nose, and he was bleeding all over the place. And still, no, I'm all right, there's no problem. No problem, leave me alone, I don't need any help, you know. But that's the foolish people, most people are like that. We try to give them Krishna, I'm fine. I was just in London in December and, you know, that's a mantra they have, you know. I'm all right, I'm fine, no problem, I'm happy. Like, you know, or some would say, I'm an atheist. I'd say, what does that mean, atheist? Get out of here, you know. I can't explain it. If you question them, like, what is the basis of your happiness? Or why are you in such a hurry if you're so happy? Don't say anything to them, you know. I'm fine, I'm happy. I thought they were singing some pop song or something, you know. I'm all right. I'm okay, you're okay. That was a famous book I saw in the Calcutta airport. I'm okay, you're okay. Yatamat tatapat. Prabhupada would quote that. Anyone says what you say, what I say, everything's fine. Famous Indian Mayavadi, you know, yatamat tatapat. But we don't say that. We say, you know, some things are right, some things are not right. If it's going towards Krishna, it's good. If it's making us forget Krishna, then it's not good. So the more people work hard to get material things, they always want more. They surveyed in America people, how much money do you need to be happy? So everybody, I won't go over the whole thing, but the consistent answer was everybody needed more than they were earning. And the more they were earning, the bigger amount more they needed. You know, if they were earning $20,000, which is considered poverty, they thought $25,000, no problem. If they're earning $50,000, they thought maybe need $100,000. If they're earning $100,000, need $500,000. If they're earning $500,000, need a couple million. And on and on and on. Nobody thought, I got everything I need. Because they're so worried about the future, and they're worried about maybe the Bombay stock market just crashed really heavy yesterday, you know, right? Somebody made a lot of money, and a lot of people lost a lot of money. Whoever arranged the crash, they made a lot of money, right? You can find out who sold a lot of stuff the day before, right? somebody sold so much of something, so everybody panicked, and then that person got lots, and then he bought everything cheap, and a couple of weeks later. There's so many big, big, intelligent people manipulating the material energy, trying to enjoy it. But they're duskritina. They have merit, they have great intelligence, like Prabhupada said, the mafia. You know, it takes tremendous intelligence to be a mafia, because it's a big business, but then you also have to be watching out for the police all the time, you know, and your other mafia people and everything. But it's duskritina. It's not meritorious. But great intelligence, organization, and really organized. If you read history of different things mafia people have done, you won't believe it. In America, just amazing things they can do. But for crime, so we want to do like all these people do, but for Krishna. Like here, everybody has so much intelligence and planning, and innovation is going to reach out to more and more people to give them Krishna. But we're always giving the same thing, you know, take the japa beads, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Take the books, take prasadam, you know, learn how to worship in your house. We don't give them anything different, but how to catch them, which people to go after. There's so many different types of people out there, suffering like anything. Misers. Nobody loves a miser, a real miser, you know. One who, like, there's stories in the Bhagavatam, that Avanti Brahman, he was a miser. He was very rich, but he never gave his family, he didn't even for himself, no sense gratification. Just keeping all the money and making more money, and finally his whole family rejected him, and then by providence he lost everything, by thieves, by fire, by this and that. And then he realized, you know, he had nothing. And he became very renounced. He actually became renounced. But many people, that won't happen. They'll kill themselves when they lose their money. That's famous in America. I think it was in the 20s or the 30s. So many big people were jumping out of the skyscrapers when they were reading the stock reports. Just, they lost all their money. And then just, they think there's nothing else to life. You can't live without it. So, just tell one joke, because Bhadri Narayan, he was telling so many jokes in Mayapur. But just to give an example of this kind of people, there was one guy, he was, he had a big Mercedes Benz, and he opened the door, and another car hit it and just, you know, took the door right off. So the policeman came, and, you know, he was crying, my car, my door, and the policeman said, you people, you're so attached to your cars, you know. He said, what do you mean, my car? He said, look, your arm is gone. He said, my Rolex, my Rolex watch. He said, laugh yoga. We should. I was watching that memory video of Srila Prabhupada. So the first one was at Mishra Ashram, and that Mataji was talking, and she was saying how Prabhupada, whenever he talked to Dr. Mishra, they would, in Hindi, so nobody knew what they were talking, but he said they would be laughing like anything. She said, I remember Prabhupada was always laughing. He was very humorous. But anyway, it sounds like funny, but people are that much attached, you know. Yesterday we saw, right? We were in the car, and there was a group of people. They were just screaming at someone in another car, and they had bumped the car in front of them. And we couldn't see any damage when we passed. You know, but there must have been some kind of scratch. And this woman, there was a young girl, she was just screaming. We could hear her with the air conditioning on and everything, you know. And a big crowd of people, like, ready to riot, just over a little tiny scratch in the car, just like you cut your nose off or something. The Prabhupada said they identify ahankara, you know, I am this car. They're thinking, I am this car, you know. So, and now we have so, it's their false ego. We have so many, it's very hard now. I don't know how anyone can decide what kind of car to buy, you know. When I first came to India, there was only Ambassador and Padmini. And there was only the cream-colored Ambassador and the black Padmini. And even if your Ambassador was 20 years old, it looked the same. So it was nobody worried, you know, right? But now you have so many new models. And the expert people know, like, this is a new one. You know, they change the headlights or they do something. So, and then the internet, you can see all the new cars for the year. When I was a kid, it was in the newspaper every fall, you know, the new models. So you'd know that if somebody had a new one, you'd know for sure. You know? And they would change them drastically so that you could have the prestige of it, having a new one. It's like getting a new body, you know. And now they're trying to give you a new body, rejuvenation, your body, you know. And so much people come into India for that, go to many countries for the cosmetic surgery. $50,000 people will spend to get beautiful. Even men, you know, the women get the men are getting implants also, so some muscle. You know, rather than all the trouble of working out, you know, just go for some surgery and look like you have them. And we're trying to tell them you're not that body, you know. And it's like, what? You know, what, you know, how, ah, you know, then, what am I then? You know, ah, that's horrible. So we have to enliven them with the kirtan and, you know, let them enjoy. We can enjoy eating nice prasadam. You don't have to give up eating. Like the yoga shastras say, you can never eat anything that tastes good. You can never say this food tastes good. I saw that in Mahabharata. Then I was reading Chaitanya Bhagavat, and Lord Chaitanya went to Gadadhar Pandit temple, and Gadadhar cooked. And they were eating, and he was saying, "Oh, Gadadhar is such a great cook. This rice is so wonderful. Everything is so nice." You know, that doesn't seem like yoga, according to, you know, what people think. They're thinking like that. You have to give up everything. You can't enjoy anything. But even the yogi will, you know, if he's actually meditating and the super soul, he'll be getting so much pleasure anyway. But nothing like the devotee gets from connecting with Krishna. Unlimited pleasure. That's a natural condition of the soul. That's what can keep us going when we're always experiencing that ecstasy of chanting the holy name. We'd like to have the 8 hours of bliss kirtan, you know. Because we can't eat for 8 hours. And you can't take prasadam all night. But you can chant. You know, we have many times so much kirtan. And then everybody just becomes more and more happy. We can walk around the holy places all day, right? And get purified and associate with devotees. If we're scholarly, we can read all day long. Can relish Srimad Bhagavatam. We can engage in some kind of service. So I thank you very much. Try to take all this Bhagavatam. It's very serious business, Bhagavatam. There's so many slokas like this. But it's not negative. Because always, and even some places, it might be confusing because it says, you know, by hearing this one, you can, if you're a Kshatriya, you'll conquer everywhere, and if you're a Vaishya, you'll get really, it's, but that's not the real goal that it's promoting. It can happen. Some people will pray to God to get rich, and they will, but because that's all they want. This is if you want really Krishna, but you're still foolishly praying for, like Prabhupada's life, of course, Prabhupada's all lila, so it's very hard to say exactly. But he says that he saw all his God brothers struggling and begging, and you know, in order to preach. So he thought, I'll get rich first with my business, and then I'll preach. But then he said Krishna dismantled everything. And Prabhupada, and he said, you know, as this was going on, one thing after another, he would always remember that verse. What's that verse? Huh? Yasyaham tadanugrahani, that I take away everything. When I really bless my devotee, I take away. But then he got so much more. Prabhupada had, just in the, in actually 10, 11 years of preaching, there was 108 temples. He had, you know, 10,000 sold out servants, so much money, so much property, all with starting with absolutely nothing. All he had when he went to America, the only asset he had no money, he just had a few hundred Srimad Bhagavatam sets. But simply by promoting that and by giving the holy name to people who would take it, you know, so much came his way. He wasn't a loser. But he never claimed proprietorship. He lived the same way. Of course, sometimes he lived very opulently, but he never claimed, this is mine. See, that, you know, he never said, I'll teach you how to get rich. Because most of the devotees who came in the beginning, they came from at least well-off families, if not very rich families. Giriraj Swami's father, he came to Prabhupada, he said, what are you giving him? He was offering him millions of dollars. And he was living in a very austere in Bombay at that time, very dangerous, his life was being threatened. And he said, no, I can't, you know, his father said, please come home, run the business. No. Many devotees, Amarendra Prabhu, I think it was, his father said, just give it up, I'll give you all the marijuana you want, like, don't, just come home, you don't have to work, you don't have... The devotees didn't, they wanted Krishna. Prabhupada never said, you know, I'll make you rich. I saw one so-called incarnation once in a video. I'll make you rich, he said. Just worship me. And the followers were like, I was at one Indian's house or something, and he was the richest Indian in Japan. And still he was like, But we don't promise that. But we don't say, well, Krishna doesn't necessarily make you poor either. He just makes you happy. Happy. In any condition. That's because we can never know what... Even a very rich man, when they get sick, it's not any less painful. Might be more painful. You know, because he can't do his work and it causes him so much anxiety. He has so much to lose. It's not like just because you're rich that you don't suffer when you get sick. And they get sick, even more sick. So study Srimad Bhagavatam carefully and become attached to Krishna. That there's nothing else, you know. Bhaktivinoda said, you know, there's in the 14 worlds, there's nothing but the holy name of the Lord. It's filled full the soul of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. All the other things in the, all the higher planets, lower planets, Vaikuntha even for devotees, it's not attractive. You just want to serve Krishna. We're striving for that consciousness. We should know about it. And even though we're working our way towards it, we don't forget to keep moving. Right? We don't become satisfied, well, I've done enough service now. Krishna owes me a living. We've had that in America. I did Sankirtan for 5 years. I gave everything. Now they should take care of me the rest of my life. That's not... A devotee naturally gets more and more enlivened and always thinks, well, I haven't done anything, now I have to do something. You know, I've got to get started. Narottam Das Thakur was saying, I've wasted my life without serving Radha. Okay? It's probably late, huh? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Radha Gopinath ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, this is an announcement for all the resident devotees. In continuation with yesterday,